This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountain.
That's the former singing senators, John Ashcroft, Larry Craig, Trent Lott, and my guest Jim Jeffords. They're not in harmony anymore. Last May, Jim Jeffords defected from the Republican Party, saying that he found himself in increasing disagreement with his party, and that it had become a struggle for its leaders to deal with him and for him to deal with them. When he became an independent, he took control of the Senate away from the Republicans. He explains himself in his new memoir, My Declaration of Independence. Jeffords first went to Washington as one of the few new Republican congressmen elected to the House after Watergate. He served 12 years in the Senate as a Republican. Jeffords strongly disagrees with President Bush on tax and spending issues. He says that when he left the party, he opposed the president's plan to cut taxes by $1.6 trillion and refused to vote for it unless $200 billion was set aside for special education. I asked Senator Jeffords if he could describe the moment when he said to himself, "I can't be a Republican anymore."
The level of funding for education had been increased by $450 billion in the budget. That's a 10-year budget. And we were excited about that. And we had worked hard, and the moderates had grouped together and been able to forge that huge increase in educational funding. But then when it left the Senate and they held a conference, which normally you think a conference, you get education conference has about 40 members, I think, in it. And you think they're going to sit down and deliberate and reach some compromises. But when they came back, they had zeroed it out. All $450 billion was gone. And I said, let's see, how did this happen? Well, I took a look at what had happened and discovered that there were only 6 members on the conference committee. And because the Republicans had control of the House and Senate, they had 4 of their members, and they were just 2 Democrats. So they just sat down and said, to heck with this moderate stuff, we'll just wipe it out and send it back. And so when we got that back, all $450 billion was gone. Well, then I said, wait a minute. I mean, that's brutal. Like, we can't allow that to happen. And I analyzed what the situation was and found out that because a very unusual situation had occurred in our country. First of all, for the first time since the 1880s, we had an even balance in the Senate. And that also that the Republicans had control of both the House and Senate for the first time since the 50s during the Eisenhower days. And this gave them total control. And then I also analyzed it and said, well, that's true. That's because it's 50-50. But that gives the power to any one senator to change that balance of power one way or the other by just walking across the aisle. In fact, I made that statement and it got picked up, which I wished I'd delayed it perhaps. But indicated to me that you ought to seriously consider whether or not you should switch parties, because right now, the moderates are dead. They were shot dead by this conference committee. They might just as well have stayed home. And I felt that it was important to change that balance. But just as importantly, I also understood that if I didn't do it, if you have power to do something, and then you analyze it and say, I've got the power, and then you say, I'm not going to do it, I don't want to do it, I don't have the courage to do it, whatever, then you're responsible for everything follows from that. And under the circumstances we have today with things like missile defense systems and all going forward and with billions of dollars and all those things, then the thought of improving funding for education and all would be gone. And so I just said, well, there's only one thing I can do. It's got to be changed. I can change it, and I will change it.
Are you usually given to that kind of grand gesture?
Well, I am when it's necessary. I have entered public life not to be a public servant, but to get things done and to take opportunities when they're available to change things to what my design, and hopefully enough would agree with me, to make things better in this nation. And the top concern I have from the years I've been here is education.
Of course, the Republicans wanted to prevent you from switching teams. What did Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott try to do to keep you from defecting?
Well, they had a hard time trying to figure out just what to do. They just tried to play it tough and indicate that you know, I would pay dearly if I did such a thing. And, of course, that was kind of counterintuitive because if they didn't have me in there, they'd have a little tough time doing anything to me. But the pressure was very severe as to how you could possibly do this. One person, do you think you can accept the responsibility of changing parties and change the whole government? This would be the first time ever that outside of an election, the power of a nation was changed. And you know, that's a pretty solemn thing to look at and to decide to do. Well, so were not the consequences of the failure to do it. And that way, the consequences of failing to change parties and to change the balance of power much more vital for this nation. And I took the responsibility, and fortunately, the large percentage of this nation agreed with me.
What were some of the carrots and the sticks that Republicans tried to use to keep you a Republican?
I don't think there was anything really offered to me early enough to make any difference. That right towards the end, when a number of the moderates, this was the most trying part of the whole thing, was when John Warner and other moderates came to me and asked me if I would sit down with them, and they tried to influence me into not to change parties. And one of the suggestions, or one thing they would agree to do, and that was to make me part of the power structure in the sense of sitting down and deciding on what to do by putting a moderate in the sort of the kitchen cabinet. But that was too far gone by that point, and that wouldn't have made the difference either. They talked about giving me the chairmanship, extending my chairmanship, because under the rules of the Republicans at that time, you had it just for 6 years, and then you'd have to move on. And I was in my sixth year, and then Trent knew that my son, well, of course, Leonard had been when we'd been with the singing senators and all, and knew that Leonard was a good conservative, and he called Leonard to see if he could put any pressure on me. And those are the kind of things that happened, but nothing draconian was proposed.
How did your son react to the attempt to get him to pressure you?
Well, he knew enough not to try to do anything other than he did counsel me that he was strongly objected to what I was doing. And then he jokingly said that they would name their first kid Reagan Nixon. So that was in somewhat in jest, but it did send a rather strong message how important it was to him that I stay where I was.
What did President Bush say to you to try to convince you to stay in the Republican Party?
Well, he just wanted me to understand and make sure that he knew I understood the ramifications of what I was doing and the importance it was to him and the administration for us all to work together and try to work things out without having to go through the throes of me leaving the party. But I told him that we were beyond that position. I'd tried everything. And then I did also relate to him what his father had said. And I just very candidly told him I thought he was on a course of being a one-term president, and that I would hope he would listen to the moderates and hopefully save his presidency.
My guest is Senator Jim Jeffords of Vermont. He's written a new memoir called My Declaration of Independence about his decision to leave the Republican Party. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Senator Jim Jeffords of Vermont. Last May, he defected from the Republican Party, changing the balance of power in the Senate. And his book about that decision is called My Declaration of Independence. Shortly after your defection, Senator The Senate Democratic Leader Tom Daschle said, "I've got to leave a bit early today. I've got to go mow Jim Jeffords' lawn." Did the Democrats do anything to entice you to leave the Republican Party?
They listened to me. That's basically what it took. Also, I had an obligation to my staff and the professional people I had with me who would come to be with me and dedicated a good portion of their lives to that effect, to make sure that they were taken care of in the sense of given jobs which they would be able to produce and to be able to hopefully come along so that the transition would be one which would be smooth. The majority leader and all were very, very helpful in that regard.
Did the closeness of the election last year influence your decision?
Oh, yes, it certainly did when you had to take a look at the results and determine whether there was a mandate. And I think that President Bush here made the same mistake that I think Clinton did too, that you come in with just a few vote margin and all of a sudden you think it's you have a mandate to push through a huge agenda and expect not to expect to have problems with it. It's just illusionary.
I'm wondering if you would have made the switch from the Republican Party after September 11th.
Oh, definitely. September 11th did change things, obviously, in this country and on many issues, but it didn't change my belief that we had to have moderation and balance in our political system, especially that's true when you have the dire circumstances which September 11th gave us.
What are the differences for you in day-to-day life in the Senate between being an independent and being part of a party?
Not much, because for all practical purposes, I'm a Democrat and under most social situations and meetings and all that, so there's really no differences except that they know that I stand there as an independent on organizational matters, and if for whatever reason the Democrats should have used their process, why I could well vote against them, and I have on occasion voted against the Democrats on the selection of cabinet personnel, because I believe very strongly that the president in power ought to have a cabinet that, as long as they're honest and forthright, that will help he or she to be able to get their work done and to have the people with them that they should have. So I have once and probably will again twice upset them by allowing a appointee to go through that would have failed if I hadn't.
During the anthrax scare, when offices were being evacuated and shut down, how close did it get to your office?
Oh, quite close. We were in the Hart building and on the same floor as the opposite position diagonally in the building. So we didn't have the closeness that led to any anthrax being found, but I found that I had been using an elevator to get to my office because it was convenient and found out that had, so I had to go on as a pro. And so the danger was there, but not as it was in some other areas.
Are you still on the Cipro?
Yes.
Side effects?
No, so far.
Good.
I've got an iron stomach, I guess. There's all of the things they warned me about. Nothing's happened.
Were you afraid to come to work?
No. I'm one of those people that doesn't get scared very easily, and sometimes, stupidly, I don't get scared, but maybe that was one of those times. But I didn't have any problems.
Now, you used to sing with John Ashcroft in the Singing Senators group.
Yes, that was fun.
When did you stop?
I sang.
Go ahead.
No, we formed that. In fact, I sort of was the starter of it way back. And when we went to a birthday party and for Bob Smith, I guess it was, and I just happened to notice that the four of us arrived at the same time, actually, three of us at then. And we all started harmonizing, and I thought it sounded pretty good. And we had another birthday party. I think my publicity man decided, why not bring in roll call? So a roll call came, took our pictures singing happy birthday to Mark Hatfield, and it was on the front page of roll call. And then the next thing we know, we got a call from the Kennedy Center that a group wanted us to come to the Kennedy Center. So then we went to the Kennedy Center, and then C-SPAN picked it up and ran it, and then CNN picked it up and ran it. And the next thing we knew, we were on the Today Show, and we were off. It was kind of a meteoric beginning, and it was unfortunately the travesty that occurred that when I decided that I wasn't going to support Larry Craig and was going to vote for his opponent, all of a sudden the singing senators were no more.
Because you were breaking rank?
Yes.
And because you're voting against one of the singers.
I'm voting against one of the singers who had an important position. And that was the end of it. I didn't know it at the time. In fact, I had to chase him around because we also had grouped with the Oak Ridge Boys. And that had given us a little bit of a momentum and justification for singing. And that had proved to be wonderful. We sang with them several times, and wonderful times doing that. And then all of a sudden I heard they were in town at the inauguration, and I was looking around for them. And my office kept asking about where they were, and we got double talk all the time. And finally walked into a reception with my daughter-in-law, and there they were, three of them, singing with the Oak Ridge Boys. Well, she told me, you get down there and you jump right up on that stage. And so I did, and I went up on the stage, and all the three Oaks came over and surrounded me and hugged me, and we had a great time singing. And I saw three very forlorn faces in the background, not anticipating that I was going to find them, but it was kind of a high point.
Senator Jim Jeffords of Vermont. His new memoir is called My Declaration of Independence.